The heat is on, but it's more the humidity. And if you're from the upper Midwest, you might feel like Iowa, Minnesota humidity that's going on. So how much of a play is this weather and the buildup to this weather forecast weighing in on the trade today? Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Sam Hudson joins us today. He is with Corn Belt Marketing. And let's kick it off there because I'll tell you, last Friday, they were pumping the brakes to say this coolness is gone and the heat is going to build. And humidity-wise, yes, but that's been about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, Susan, it is definitely thick out there. I mean, it feels like late summer at that time of year. But as you mentioned, it seems like they're backing off on some of these heat numbers. And with water underfoot on most of these crops, the past month has been pretty sporadic at a minimum of dropping moisture across the Midwest. It doesn't seem like anyone's in an immediate, of dire need from a drought standpoint. If anything, there's probably some areas that have had too much water, and you're getting into that time of year where disease pressure can start to show its head. So all these little ticky-tack things could start to add up, could continue to curtail some of these huge yield estimates. But I also don't see anything out here that's large enough on its own to get people to start arguing in the other direction.
So it's going to be kind of a layering factor, it sounds like, with these markets as we build towards the August crop report.
It is, and we continue to see old crop demand and a pretty positive stature. I don't think we're going to expect any cuts there on that side of things. But within 45 days here, we're going to be exclusively trading that new crop balance sheet. So pretty soon, everything's just going to melt together. And there again, with condition ratings, we'll see what they say this afternoon. But at 74% good to excellent going into it, if we remain in this realm. Historically still very strong, and that's going to keep the trade relatively confident. So go back in the last week with some of these pollination issues that have been reported to the tassel wrap, definitely something to keep an eye on. I don't think it's, again, on its own something to be terrified about, but I would say it's real, and it's one of those things you wouldn't want in your own field.
Looking at that and beyond, we got that August 1st looming deadline. Do you see any tariff or lack there of tariff agreements having a factor as well on these on the grain numbers?
Well, it's possible. I mean, it's definitely not providing a real positive backdrop. Probably the biggest thing I'm concerned about, Susan, is less so even about the headline and more just about the business itself. So let's face it. I mean, it doesn't feel like there's a lot to gain or lose in an exclusive deal with China on the corn side of things. But when you talk about soybeans, this is the time of year they like to come to the table anyways. And they were a little bit late last year. They're coming late again this year. But those bigger and bigger South American crops, I would say that makes sense. But at some point, they are going to have to do something because they can't put all their eggs in one basket, regardless of what they feel on trade. And so I want to watch that trajectory here over the next 30 to 45 days as we start thinking about harvest. As you mentioned, we're going to get close to this next WASDE report and get another reset from USDA and see if that offers anything as well.
Head over to what we see on the livestock side. The cattle market live is kind of giving feeders a little bit of a boost that they need when they look at the countryside and movement.
Yeah, it gets a little easier for the futures to do that with the corn futures lower to start the week. You got the feeder cattle index that's still pretty strong. It's still just trading some really impressive numbers at the sale barn, well above all the major moving averages. So, the only concern here in the short term is a knee-jerk catalyst to get the funds out of their longs. Because from the cash standpoint, it's still pretty positive. I think the biggest point of interest at this point is to see if beef prices can keep up or continue higher, because we've basically taking these futures markets to par or premium here in this feeder cattle market. And you can tell that the waters get a little bit more tepid when you get to those points.
Do you have any concerns, though, with the box beef numbers as they've kind of lacked some of the support in the last couple of trading sessions?
Well, you can get concerned about them not going a lot higher, but, let's play the flip side of that and see if there's an argument to expect them to go a lot lower. And I think that's where we have to bring ourselves back down to earth. From a relativity standpoint, these numbers still kind of make sense with everything that's gone on. Moving forward, we might have a little bit of a better opportunity for herd expansion, especially if you can get a cut in interest rates. But when you're fighting interest rates, a general lack of grass over the last couple of years or several years out west in these commodity markets that have been up and down. I mean, I don't know. The cattle guy's got to be licking his chops, I would think, going into harvest here with really cheap feed, more available grass, and prices where they're at.
Do we see the hogs kind of just sitting back right now and pulling back off of last week's trade?
A little bit. I mean, I think the fact that, we've seen this cattle market and the beef market hang in there at least so far near these highs or even into new highs, after that big aggressive break there in the hog market, it's been nice to see a little bit of a rally back here. I want to see how the October handles that 92.5 to 93.5 zone. See a lot of things shaping up to suggest we could see some choppy markets all the way around here for the next couple of weeks until we get in to thinking about this September 1st timeframe.
All right. As we wrap this up, what do you want them to kind of keep an eye out for this week, grain or livestock?
Well, I think the grain news is going to be pretty null and void. Again, I think it would focus on more on those new crop numbers and the sales and the business in general. Obviously, if we get a trade headline, I think you could see a pump in markets. But generally right now, we're just continuing to whittle away the rest of that old crop and get in a new crop and continue to talk about these yield expectations. That'll be the next thing to talk about here in this August crop report, because it is survey-based largely, and see if anyone has a hunch that USDA is going to start making a move this early in the year.
All right, sounds good. Thanks so much. Sam Hudson joining us today. He is with Corn Belt Marketing. A quick reminder that commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. That is the Monday market wrap-up on the American Ag Network.